let's talk a little bit about Wednesday night and the overall cost. I mean, three starters out, or I guess Sadler's considered a starter, but I mean, three key guys are out now for the season. You know, what kind of change? I mean, there's some changes, obviously, but what is Pitt going to do going forward? Is this the kind of thing where a team rallies and kind of comes together over this, or is this something that's just really devastating for them, at least offensively?
I'd err on the devastating side of that equation, Jerry. I mean, they might rally together, and that'll be all well and good, and you know, have some battle cries and all of that. But it's hard to get a battle cry that replaces what Ray Graham did for this team. I mean, I was looking at some of the numbers. He produced something like 47% of their offensive yards through the first seven games. They scored 19 touchdowns in the first seven games. He scored 9 of them. I mean, this Ray Graham was their offense. He was the player they went to in the run game and in the passing game. And not having him is a huge blow. I like Zach Brown as much as the next guy. Some of these freshman running backs looked kind of nice, and they're going to have to be on the field, but none of them are Ray Graham. And, you know, I know Tino Cinceri set a Heinz Field collegiate record on Wednesday night, but he's probably not going to do that every week. They need Ray Graham, and they don't have him. And I can't look forward at the next four games and say the prognosis is good or the horizon looks bright.
Well, you know, I was going to say, Chris, the thing about Ray Graham is he allegedly eased some of the stress and everything on the off the quarterback's shoulders. But as we have seen in recent weeks, the Connecticut game notwithstanding, that hasn't always been the case. What do you think now? I mean, do you think we'll see a heavy dose of what they did on Wednesday against Connecticut, where Tino Cinceri throws, you know, 45 passes and none of them go longer than 10 yards?
I mean, you would think they're going to have to, like, rely on the passing game a little bit more, Paul. But, I mean, that, you know, there was the South Florida game where Tino threw it pretty well, but Ray Graham ran for 220-some yards. You know, outside of really Wednesday night's game, it's not like Tino Cinceri has had a great game start to finish where he's really lit the world on fire. So there's not exactly a lot of evidence to support the notion that they can rely on it. But they're going to have to. I mean, they're going to have to go to the passing game more because, like I said, none of those running backs they're going to turn to are as good as Ray Graham. You know, so they're kind of stuck. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see what this offense does. Maybe, you know, we heard all about over the 10 days leading up to the Connecticut game, maybe, you know, that they were simplifying the offense. Maybe they figured some things out, and that's why they were so effective on Wednesday night. Maybe they can build on that success going forward. I can't rule that out as a possibility, but when you look at everything that happened over the first 8 games, it's hard to look at these last four and say that they're going to be able to really do a whole lot on offense.
Chris, what are the chances this was the last time we watched Ray Graham put on a Pitt uniform?
Well, I think there's some chance. You know, a lot of it's going to depend, Andrew, on what happens in the offseason as far as who gets in his ear. You think about the timeline on this. The combine is usually in January, late January, somewhere around there. We're about 3 months away from the combine. Ray Graham tears his ACL. Is he going to, you know, you're not going to be able to participate in the combine 3 months after an ACL injury. Never mind, you know, pro days or anything like that. I think it's something he's going to consider. There will probably be people in his ear telling him that, you know, he should do it, he should go, don't come back and risk another injury. But yeah, from some people I've talked to, I put the percentage is pretty high that Ray Graham's going to return, which, you know, if you asked me a week ago or if you asked me on Tuesday or Wednesday morning if I thought Ray Graham was going to be back next season, I would have said absolutely not. Now it looks like there's a pretty good chance that he'll have him back for his senior year.
Chris, how does that impact what Russell Schell is going to do? I mean, he's coming to Pitt. At least he's given a verbal, you know, but I think everybody had him penciled in as a starting tailback next year.
Well, I think Pitt will be able to convince him that there'll still be plenty of carries to go around, work him in a lot and all of that. I'd be shocked if Schell were to back off his commitment. I wondered about that a little bit, too. I mean, you've got this great running back who's presumably leaving, and you know, Russell, you can be the guy who steps in and takes over the mantle. Well, now I think Pitt has to sort of change it a little bit and say, you be the guy who comes in and works with Ray. We're going to get both of you the ball a lot. You know, you guys are both going to carry it all the time. We'll still run the ball a whole ton with you. I don't see anything changing as far as Shell's commitment to Pitt goes.
You look at the fact that they have Zach Brown and Corey Davis, but beyond those two, they have three guys who are redshirting. Is there any way they're going to be able to avoid having to break one of those redshirts?
I'd be surprised. You know, Paul, I mean, it's kind of interesting with Corey Davis. I mean, he's a running back. He's listed as a running back. He came here as a running back. That's what he was in high school. But this season, when he's played, he's been split out wide more than he's lined up in the backfield. I mean, we've seen them throw the ball to him more than we've seen him hand the ball off. I think he took a handoff when they were running the Wildcat, and even that was a situation where he ran in motion. So he's playing sort of a unique position right now, kind of a hybrid running back receiver. Now maybe they move him to more just a straight tailback. I think at least one, if not both, of the true freshman scholarship running backs, Isaac Bennett and Malcolm Crockett, at least one, if not both of those guys, is going to get on the field. I mean, they're going to have to go to him. I mean, plus you've seen Corey Davis. He's not the biggest guy. I think they want somebody else. Maybe he was just a little bit bigger, and Bennett and Crockett are both bigger. It's interesting this season when they had the injury on Wednesday night, it looked like Malcolm Crockett was warming up on the sidelines, and when Zach Brown got hurt against South Florida, Crockett looked like he was ready to go in. Now it sounds like Isaac Bennett, the other running back, has already been informed he's going to have his redshirt pulled. So I would say one or both of those guys is going to get in when Wednesday morning the plan was to redshirt both of them.
We're talking with Chris Peek, who is the PantherLair.com editor, also a weekend host here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris, I'm going to break off Pitt just a little bit here and look at the Big East generally today. West Virginia, who is now going to be a Big 12 member at some point, they play up at Rutgers. Looking forward ahead, I mean, Pitt's got four games left. I mean, this is a key game for West Virginia. What's the Big East look like to you coming down the stretch?
Well, it's just wide open, Jerry. I mean, you got, Cincinnati still undefeated, but they're the only team that doesn't have a loss. South Florida, I think, has a couple of losses, but everybody else, is sitting there with a loss or two losses, I guess, after the Pitt-Connecticut game. It's wide open. Anybody can still really take this. Almost all the teams hold their destinies in their hands, so to speak. Pitt, particularly with the Cincinnati game coming up on the 5th, Pitt's chances at that obviously took a hit when they lost Ray Graham, but it really is wide open. I mean, you can look at a number of these teams, even teams like Rutgers and Syracuse, and say, you know what, they've got a shot. If the cards fall their way and they take care of their own business over the next month or so, they've got as good a shot as anybody. I mean, you look at West Virginia, Cincinnati, Pitt, Syracuse, Rutgers, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams come out as the BCS representative.
Chris, I have one more thing. I'm going to bounce a little further. I'm going to bring Penn State into the conversation. They play Illinois today, and they finish against Nebraska, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. Does Penn State have a winnable game in those final three? I think Illinois is a winnable game, but they have a winnable game in those final three.
I have a hard time seeing it. I mean, I think they've really feasted on a pretty. They feasted on a pretty soft schedule up until this point. There's not a whole lot where you look at their schedule and say, boy, I'm impressed by that win. And they haven't played a team like Nebraska or Wisconsin yet, or even Ohio State for that matter. I don't see them really having any success in those final three games. It wouldn't shock me at all to see them go 0-3 down the stretch there.
Well, for them, of course, if they can beat Illinois, they'll get 8-8 wins, but I think everybody's pointing to the back end of their schedule as being the real part of their schedule, and I think that's proven out, too. And I'll loop back to Pitt on this, too. Pitt, you mentioned Cincinnati being a key game. West Virginia, obviously, is a key game. And now Syracuse seems to have kind of jumped up and played a little better. Pitt, even without Graham, is going to have to play a tougher part of their Big East schedule late, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's pretty backloaded here. I mean, I think when you look at it, it's Cincinnati, the team at the top of the Big East, West Virginia, the team that everyone kind of expected to win the Big East, and Syracuse is sort of the upstart of the conference right now, particularly with their win over West Virginia. Those are, as we sit here right now, and South Florida has kind of been proven to be a little bit more fraudulent than we might have thought they were earlier in this season. You look at Cincinnati, West Virginia, and Syracuse probably being the three toughest teams in the league. That Pitt's going to face, and they're going to have to get them, right in this final month of play. I would say that, like I said, I mean, Pitt and really most of these teams in the conference have a chance to control their own destiny. I mean, Pitt's going to play the teams that they'll have to beat in order to win the conference, and, to a certain extent, that's how you would want it to be. You want to be able to control your own destiny. You want to be able to have the games laid out ahead of you and have it set to you where if you win these games, you'll win the Big East and get to the BCS Bowl. And so if you're Pitt, you're still disappointed about losing to Rutgers and, and having that blemish on your Big East record, but you've got as good a shot as anybody, at least on paper, of still winning this thing.